Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, or just visiting family in the Central Florida area, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in Hawaii, at Alani, Hilton Head Island, or good old Walt Disney World, stay at the Poly, Old Key West, Boardwalk, Yacht and Beach Club, Contemporary, or the Grand Floridian, or don't forget the Animal Kingdom, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the Central Florida resorts, if you want to go to Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, again, visiting family, contact scootorlando.com. Show's also being brought to you by our friends and your friendly travel agent in me at American Tourist Travel. If you want to go to Walt Disney World, contact me and I'll be sure to help you out. Or anywhere else in the world, contact American Tourist Travels at americantouristtravels.com. And last but not least, head over to our website at It's All in WDW to check out all of our great sponsors. Okay, guys, we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Bye-bye.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, John, the bus driver. Pull up a bus, John.
Yeah. Good morning. How we doing?
Well, the reason I'm saying that, it seems like you're in the bus more than anything else now in the world. I mean, that's what your time is spent. You're on the bus. What is it, about 70% of the day you're driving?
Yeah, something like that. Between that and the car, I'm certainly driving a lot. So, yeah, I came home the other night, and my wife and JJ were sitting there, and they said, "Do you live here?" And I said, "Yeah, well, I sleep here." That's about it right now. So,
Well, at least you're enjoying the job. The drive in and out's bad, but at least you could actually say you're one of the few lucky ones. You're looking forward to going to work when you go in right now.
Yeah. What we do right now with the new system has its ups and downs, certainly, but what I do like is they print out a sheet. I go in the morning, clock in, and they give me a sheet, and it has my entire day listed out of work that I'm supposed to do. So I know what runs I'm going, where I'm going, and then how many times I have to do them and stuff like that. So you can really, acclimate yourself to what you're doing that day and when your break's going to be and that whole bit. So I like that a lot. So.
Yeah. The only thing that's getting you now is the hours are all over the place, aren't they, John?
Yeah, and today I'm back early. I'm at 10:08, and they stagger these times like this to try to avoid the clock-in fiasco when you have 30 people waiting to clock in at 10 o'clock, you know what I'm saying? And then you get the backup and they're trying to do their best with social distancing and stuff. So by staggering the times, they have people clock in at 10, 10:01, 10:02, that type of thing. So I'm clocking in at 10:03, and then I work until 6:52 or something tonight. So. But yeah, I was there last night until 10:12. So
What would Dolly Parton have done with that? Working 10:03 to 6:52.
Wouldn't have the same ring, would it? No, not quite the same. Doesn't roll off the tongue quite as fine.
No, 10:03 to 6:52. Another minute. I don't know what to do. Right, John? Is that how the song would go?
Hey, yeah. All right, Doug, I have a public service announcement.
I'll let you do that. My wife was hearing me singing. She opened up the office door and popped in with the eyes as big as saucers, like, "What are you doing, idiot?"
Doing the show, honey. Doing the show.
That'll be the first question when I get off the air. What were you doing singing that stupid song? Yeah. But anywho, public service announcement, John.
All right, and here's I wouldn't call it news at all, but to me, if Disney comes to a point where Uber and Lyft drivers are no longer allowed to drive on property, will not be a financial agreement or a financial thought, it will be because they endanger people's lives. They are the most dangerous drivers I have ever seen. At least taxis are bright yellow and I can see them. The Uber and Lyft drivers, they're in a rush to get things done, and they cut, well, of course, they, you know, like taxi drivers and everybody else, they cut me off, they cut buses off, and they speed through zones and stuff like that. Okay, well, we're accustomed to that. But do not, for the all that is holy, do not drive into the bus load zones and unload people in the bus load zones and then leave going the wrong direction. Four times I've came almost bumper to bumper with a car going the wrong direction in a load zone. How do you do that? How do you go to Epcot and you get trapped into the bus area and you decide it's a good idea to go against the traffic? I don't get it.
Okay, now answer me this, and I 100% agree with you. I will have to say, last time I was on one of the last times, I forget if it was the last time, but one of the last times, we used Uber the whole trip. And I have to say, we got lucky. Like, 9 out of 10 of our Uber drivers were great. One was off because I couldn't understand what he was saying to me. And I'm not trying to be politically incorrect or whatever, but it's very uncomfortable when you can't communicate to somebody when you're trying to get somewhere. I mean, is that wrong of me to say, John? You're more politically correct than me.
No, that's fine. I mean, communication is key to any type of agreement. But I would say 90% of the drivers are fine and for the most part do follow the road. But it's that 10% that they're endangering the lives of people. I mean, for $5, an extra $3 or $4 tip, relax, people.
And you're 100% right. Now answer me this, and I'm just asking this. I'm not trying to be Lou Mangiello for them at this point right now. Please believe me, I'm not. But do you think Disney knows that this is going on? Do you think there should be like a spot that they tell the Uber drivers they have to drop off at the parks? Like maybe make a designated area where they can drop? Would that make?
Well, I mean,
and I'm just asking, would that make sense? I'm not blaming Disney for it, but do you think this is something they should do?
Well, I think for the most part, a lot of that should be common sense, Doug.
But
not
people
an Uber
don't
driver.
Have common sense, John. We know this now.
but all right. So if you were taking me and dropping me off at Animal Kingdom Lodge, are you going to drop me off at the porte-cochere up there by the front desk? Or are you going to drop me off when the bus loads up?
But
which makes more sense in a personal vehicle?
You're 100%, but most people don't have common sense, John. Look at the person who drinks the fourth beer and drives home, you know, fifth beer. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's people. We've learned in this country now that people need to be told most of the time. It's sad, but it's true. But the problem is, too, is you have the young driver. I'm not even going to say young, the driver. And then the person saying, drop me off here. And that's where they'll do. They just do what they're told most of the time. You follow me? A lot of that, I bet, has to do with the passenger saying, just drop me off here at the bus station because that's my bus station for my resort.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. It should be made clear. Yeah, it should be made clearly between Disney, Uber, and Lyft as
there
to where
you
the
go.
Drop-off areas are. So
that's my point. And there should be, like, if they drop off at the wrong areas, the Uber driver loses their privileges for a week or something on property.
Yeah, one of the women that was driving, our leader came over and got all of her information because she was actually going against the flow of bus traffic in the Epcot unload zone. And going around a corner and then got mad at the bus driver and honked the horn at the bus driver. So, I mean, really?
Yeah, I mean, my one Uber driver who was great, who's the reason I bought my Kia Soul, because I liked his car, and he was a mechanic for him. He actually dropped us off at the Animal Kingdom. He went through the regular parking lot. But he went all the way up to and dropped us off, like, in the handicap drop-off. But nowhere near, but just that parking lot area. You understand what I'm saying? The closest part. But didn't go anywhere near where buses or anything else goes. And it was along the sidewalk. I don't know if you know where that is in the Animal Kingdom, John?
Yeah, I know exactly where that is. But that is the proper spot to drop people off.
Exactly. And that should be told. You understand what I'm saying? He had his pass. He went in the free park, blah, blah, blah. He went up there and he dropped us off in an area where we weren't infringing on anybody's. You understand what I'm saying? Everything was, that's the perfect place. and they should figure out where each park should be drop-offs. I mean, now we're in this day and age of Uber. I don't know if Disney should even make an Uber spot for each of the parks.
Yeah. Well, there is drop-off areas. I mean, when I go into Epcot, there's a big digital sign that says guest drop-off, rideshare area. And then there are signs that direct the Lyft and the Uber drivers to the proper area. But I guess apparently they disregard.
Yep, well, then there should start to be fines, me. I mean, Disney has to levy fines. They have to be more proactive on it because I don't want to be dropped off at the wrong area either. Like, when I was picked up at my resort every day, they picked me up at the porte-cochere at where the valet is.
Yeah, yeah, the front desk.
Yes.
Or, I mean, even a big resort like Port Orleans Riverside or Caribbean Beach, if they want to come near your building and drop and pick you up, that's fine too. But not in the bus load zones.
So. No, but that's I don't even want that either, because I think it should only be at the porte-cochere. You unless you're handicapped or something like that, which I forgive, which should be a pass. But if you're an able, willing human being, you should be able to walk up to the porte-cochere, because you shouldn't have. Also, those parking lots are dark. You know, they're not really, really lit. You shouldn't have drivers driving around parking lots trying to find somebody. If you understand what I'm saying, it's not safe either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, I don't want strange cars parked out. Like, if cars are constantly parked with people driving them, you don't know who it really is either. They should have to go into a lit area up by the porte-cochere where everybody sees you picked up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can see that too.
Because you don't know what creeps are going to go park in a parking lot and let people think it's their Uber driver. You follow me?
Yep.
The moral to the story is I don't even think Disney should allow cars that aren't staying at the resort to be driving around the resort willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Pull up to the porte-cochere and drop people off. Now, John, we're in major, major trouble. You do know this, right?
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, I heard. Yeah, somehow we forgot the... And I've even heard rumors we may lose the contract with Carmen and Brian.
Yes. So we have to say this whole podcast is brought to you by the Adventures of Carmen and Brian over on YouTube. How's that sound, John?
There you go. That's much better. But, sports talk.
Yes. Well, I was so into you talking about the bus and how happy you are on the bus and the whole nine yards. And time was running short because I know you had to get in. And I figured I'd let the sports go for the week because this is a Disney podcast, but apparently they like the sports talk more than the Disney.
Well, especially seeing that it was the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship now, last week. So.
Could I subliminally forgot to talk about Tom Brady? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think maybe there is some kind of a thought process there, perhaps.
Even though that was before the game, so it ain't like I knew he was going to the Super Bowl or anything.
Yeah.
But like, and Judith really gets on me. She loves her Tommy, but and he is a great human being. No drinking, no smoking, no getting in trouble. He's been a pretty good guy. But the one thing I will have to say that still rubs me the wrong way after we beat his team in the Super Bowl, I found it pretty disgusting that he didn't shake Nick Foles' hand, because there isn't a better human being on the planet than Nick Foles. He's, you know, with his religion and all. I mean, you've never heard a bad thing about Nick Foles. Now, can you explain to me why Tom Brady never shook his hand after the game?
Not a clue.
So he isn't perfect, John, is what my point of. I mean, if you listen to most people talk about him, when he goes to the bathroom, big gold nuggets come out.
He's Tywin Lannister.
Yeah, he don't even poop. It's magical. He's just an amazing, amazing man. But they are going to the Super Bowl for you. And this is what gets me too, John. All the idiots. I listen to all the sports radio shows, blah, blah, blah. How are the Chiefs only a 3-point favorite? Do you know how the Chiefs are only a 3-point favorite, John?
Because they won last year.
No, but they should be more than a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, that's what I said. So there should be more, but
you know why?
Why is that?
Because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing at home. Home. Now, when you play an NFC or an AFC championship game, is it the home field advantage and advantage, John?
Yeah, well, certainly isn't a typical year. I mean, I don't know how much – I don't even know what size crowd we're going to have in the Super Bowl this year.
Doesn't matter. What matters is you could sleep home in your own bed and live life normally.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what makes the home field advantage. You got three more days to rest your body and be in your normal routine. You're not living in a hotel, being transported to the bus. You're driving your Lexus, your Hummer, your BMW into work, if you understand what I'm saying. It's a normal work week. And every team that has a home field advantage gets at least 3 points. Am I right?
Yep.
So, and then on top of that, you also have the Tom Brady factor, which it's like the stupid Dallas Cowboy factor. Like, if you look at any other line in football or basketball or any of the sports, the stupid Lakers, the stupid Cowboys, and the stupid Yankees all get different lines than anybody else because there's so many idiotic fans across the entire country. And then Tom Brady, as being the GOAT, as everybody likes to call him, he also adjusts the line, John. People are going to bet on Tom Brady just for being Tom Brady. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
So, it's like, think, people. I know everybody can't be as bright and good-looking, as handsome, and as intelligent as myself, but please think a little bit, John.
Woo! Yeesh. How do you even get that head through the door?
I bade bigger doors at my house. And I usually work at a commercial job site, so they have big openings, John.
Okay, yeah, the double doors.
Yes. But anyway, congratulations, your Tampa Bay Bucks and Tom Brady are going to the Super Bowl.
Yep. It was a good game. Certainly some iffy calls.
Big time iffy calls.
Yeah,
but hey, John, at the start of the season, and you deserve to be there. But I told you, Brady is phenomenal, but you're also going to get those couple little things that you've never... Jameis Winston would never get any of those pass interference calls.
Well, Jameis Winston didn't even get to the playoffs one time.
But
so,
I understand that. But it's just like I watched the Sixers play LeBron James the other day, and I even replayed I said to my wife, what is wrong with this? And it shows him making a layup where he takes 5 steps down the lane. And on top of the basket going in, they also gave him an N1, John, a 3-point play. And my wife goes, they're allowed to take that many steps? I said,
no.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Tom Brady's phenomenal, but he also, you will get, if it's a 50-50 call, it's going to be 51-50 for you. And you deserve it. I'm not saying Tampa Bay. I like the Bucs. I've always liked Tampa Bay. I got a lot of fantasy players on that team. I don't have a problem with Tampa Bay. But that's what I told you when you got him. That's one of the things you're going to get to. And you have to admit, as a Tampa Bay fan, you've gotten a couple calls you've never gotten in your life before, John.
Oh, there's been some calls. But, regardless, they beat the Saints in New Orleans, and they beat the Packers.
Absolutely.
So I'm pretty happy with what I've got so far. Seth.
You should be happy. I'm happy for you. I wish we were there. Instead, I'm in a big, crazy, coaching, ridiculous. I mean, General Hospital, one life to live, and all my children don't have a much going on as what my Eagles do right now.
No, but the Houston Texans certainly do. They've got quite the drama unfolding down there, too. So.
Oh, this year is going to be called As the Quarterback Turns. I mean, there's literally like 12 quarterbacks right now that could be changing teams if you listen to what's going on right now. Even Aaron Rodgers might not be in Green Bay.
Yeah, and the big trade yesterday with Stafford going to Los Angeles. So.
Yeah, now what's going to happen to Jarrett? I don't know my name, Goff. I mean, I'm only kidding. But know who he reminds me of? Johnny Utah. You remember that movie?
I always thought that was Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel and Johnny Utah. Obviously, yeah.
Yeah,
God,
but
and they acted about the same. So.
Yeah, but Johnny Manziel don't say "Surf's up, dude." That's what Jared Goff reminded me of. Keanu Reeves as the quarterback in Johnny Utah in that TV in that movie.
Yep.
What was that?
Point Break.
Yeah, Point Break with my boy Patrick Swayze. He almost danced as good as I do, John Patrick.
There it is.
But anywho, that's what Jared Goff all remember. Did you ever see the TV, Hard Knocks, the HBO show with him?
No, I didn't see that year.
Listen, dudes, we got to get in the huddle for sure. I'm going to throw you the deep ball, man. Like, he's so laid back that I don't think he's ever had a bad day in his life, Jerichoff, and God bless him for it. He's one of these guys that it doesn't seem like anything gets to him, if you follow me. Just super chill.
Well, I don't know how that attitude's going to go in New York, or not New York, Detroit, but I guess we'll see, right?
Yeah, well, at least if they lose, it'll be expected.
Well, it's Detroit. You always expect them to lose anyway, so.
Dude, Detroit is the only team in NFL history that has had two Hall of Famers retire in their prime.
Yeah.
When you have Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson say, yo, I just can't do it no more.
Just walking away.
I mean, the two of them walked away between them probably $100 million and said, nope, we can't do it.
Yep.
Super sad.
And still had plenty of gas in the tank, both of them.
So, absolutely. Like yeah. Still in their prime. I mean, maybe on the downward side, but still better than almost anybody else that ever was playing.
Yep.
And the sad part was, I had both of them on my fantasy team, John. The year before that trade, I get a load of this one because I was going to the Super Bowl in my playoffs, right before the playoffs, I traded Davante Adams for Calvin Johnson. He was a rookie. I drafted him as a rookie. And I said, okay, I still have another 4 or 5 years with Calvin. He retired the next year. My buddy Paul still goes, nanner, nanner, nanner. Every time he sees me for Davante Adams. But now I just said, speaking of horrible, there's a couple horrible news that come out from Disney this week. One is, John, and this is all said by Doug, anything negative going towards Disney has nothing to do with John. He loves driving the bus and he loves Disney more than anything except for his family. Am I right, John?
It's up there in the top five.
Do you love me as much as Disney, John?
Oh God, Doug! You and your big head, absolutely.
Oh, thank you. You remember those big head? They still have them for the football players that you could put in your room.
Heads.
We should get one of them made up of me, John.
Dancing.
Yes. Doug got his groove on. John, I've seen pictures of this. I even watched the video this morning at 6 o'clock this morning. Can you believe? And I know all you Yeti fans will apologize for that, but how the hell can you apologize for those cardboard cutouts at the Grand Fiesta, the Three Caviars, the Grand Fiesta Tour, John?
I have no idea. I haven't even watched it. So I know Robbie said something about it yesterday, but yeah, I really don't know.
Well, you do know the three animatronics that play there, right?
Yes.
That is it's the highlight of the show. I mean, I love that ride. It's still one of me being an old man, it's one of my favorite things to do. Me and Brenda were talking this morning about how much Brenda's mother loves that ride, and we go by where the temple is there and where the restaurant is, and I always point out every time I watch my video or one of the videos on YouTube, we sat there because we've sat along the railing multiple times to eat dinner there and lunch. I cannot believe Disney has put cardboard cutouts and literally removed these animatronics. Like, why can't they fix them, John?
I don't know.
Yeah, and the thing of it is they're right there. It isn't like, okay, the Yeti, we have to literally remove the entire building to fix that. So that's their excuse. Me and you could hop off a boat, John, and go up and start working on these animatronics. And people are saying they were skipping, they were this, they were that. But at least if you were going to take them and put cardboard cutouts out there, at least make an announcement they are under repair or what you're doing with them. Or let me know before I get on the ride. It's like a cardboard cutout, John. I don't even know what else to say about it. It's just horrible. I don't believe they did this.
They were probably removed to get fixed. But I imagine that's what it is. So
see, with
they probably
me,
couldn't get it done while they were attached, so they had to take them out to get them done. So.
Well, my point is, first of all, let me know, but I really don't think they're going to fix them myself. I think this is money-wise, another money cut. But because there has been announcements of there's possibility of Coco going there. Am I wrong?
I don't know if I've heard that or not.
Yeah, I've heard a few rumors about Coco going there. So, and that's one of the rumors of why they're not going to fix it. But I don't understand. I don't even understand how long it could take to fix three animatronics when you're doing this. I don't understand it because it's been up there for a little while now, this cardboard. So they better fix them. And but on top of this, now the people mover is not going to open up till the end of February, maybe March. What is going on with this people mover, John?
Not a clue. I have no idea why that's been down for so long.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, it's been closed since what, last March, John?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I just don't know what's going on. I really...
Well, yeah, it's definitely been closed since March because that's when everything closed.
Yeah, but I think it broke down or shut down before even the pandemic, John. I think it went down before they shut the park down or something like that. But it's been down a long time, and now they're pushing it back. And now they're saying Guardians of the Galaxy ain't going to open to 2022.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
And I was watching video on that. Did you see that? And it looks pretty awesome. It looks like they're going to have a planetarium in the entrance there, John.
Yeah, I had heard. I know there's going to be... There was different speculation of what the queue area was going to be like, so that's what it's going to be, a planetarium, huh?
Yeah, well, and I do love the concept of it, so I will go to positive now, and I'm super excited about it. It's supposed to be you're going to be welcomed into their world, John.
Okay.
And it's going to be a whole... So it'll kind of fit the pavilion. It's going to be like, I forget the name that they use, like a future pavilion or a space pavilion, like where it'll enter... Like, so it's like... The land pavilion, the sea pavilion, you understand what I'm saying? So it will have a theme that fits Future World. Future Pavilion, I think they're going to call it, John. And when you walk in, they have like a planetarium. The way it's looking, there's going to be like a planetarium, and you could see outer space, like where their planet is, and teach you about their life, if you understand what I'm saying. And then all of a sudden, you get shot back in time. And they even chose, who's the leader of the Guardians of the Galaxy again? Chris Pratt's role.
Star-Lord, dude, right?
Yeah. Anyway, there's pictures of him. It shows him that he was, like, at Epcot in 1982. Which is pretty awesome, the whole tie-in. It shows him and the monorail and stuff like that. So it's really cool, dude. So I was showing Brenda all this video and stuff, and me and her were saying we're going to have to take 3 Motrin, 2 Benadryl... and some Dramamine before we get on that.
Yeah, yeah, and I have to avoid all alcohol before riding. So.
Yeah, but I'm really excited about it. It doesn't look like it's going to move from what I'm watching the video, like it's going to go super fast. And there are no loops or no inversions, John.
Okay.
So that does help us, but it does have that backwards launch is what they're saying.
Yeah.
So... And the cars are unlike Primeval Stupid Whirl, the crappiest ride on property that should be removed. These cars are controlled. They're not free where they like they are. They're not done by gravity. These are actually moved and programmed by the Imagineers. So, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's disappointing to hear it won't be open until 2022, but we still don't know an opening date for Ratatouille, and it's ready to go. So they're really delayed the opening on a lot of this stuff. So I don't know when Tron Cycle is supposed to open now either. So
yeah, I mean Tron. And the weird thing is like you go into Disney Parks block, they're like totally promoting the Avengers Land out in California, but they're barely saying anything about Guardians of the Galaxy. It's weird. And Ratatouille and anything. It's like they're nowhere near as much pub as what they're doing with Disneyland, and Disneyland isn't even open. So, I don't know. And have you heard anything else? I mean, I haven't heard anything about the annual passes with Disney World yet. Have you heard anything?
No, nothing at all.
So, but I've heard more about Disneyland, and it looks like the more money you spend... The earlier you can reserve days to go there is what they're looking to do. There's going to be multiple...
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised...
Go ahead.
Well, for Disneyland, I wouldn't be surprised that that's not even necessarily due to the COVID. Well, I mean, they're going to have tighter restrictions for a longer time anyway. But from what I've always heard, Disneyland always had attendance problems with reaching max capacity way too quick. So I wouldn't be surprised even if we do get past COVID and everything in a year or two that Disneyland's going to keep that in place because they almost had to come to a system where you make reservations for the day, because there's that's only a certain, you can't expand that park, and there's only so much room for people to get in, you know. So
yeah, and the thing I don't like, John, is, and I get it, and I know you're going to agree with it or whatever, but in my opinion, they should just have one annual pass or one perfect pass and sell it. And if you make your reservation, you make your reservation. And because the regular passes, you got to reserve in 30 days of when you're going to go, which that one of the reasons I'm moving to Florida is because me and Brenda want to be able to go to Epcot and get gelato at the end of the night. You understand? After work, I want to be able to go on the fly, if you understand what I'm saying. But and hopefully Florida stays that way, because that's one of me and Brenda's dreams of being out of roam the parks at night, not for the ride, just for the atmosphere of being there, John.
But, well, with the size of the parks in Florida, I don't think you'll ever have a chance, especially with Epcot. Epcot hardly ever reaches capacity unless it was New Year's Eve or something of that sort.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, what you're saying is exactly the same thing. Like, tonight I get off at 6:53. Now, if I wanted to just walk into Epcot at the end of the night, it would be nice that I wouldn't have to have thought about it 3 days ago to make a reservation for it. You know what I'm saying? So.
Exactly. So my point is, in a Disneyland, And again, I know everybody else is going to say I'm wrong, but this is where I feel like, because the grand idea was for Disneyland was built for everyone. Isn't that what Walt said?
Yeah.
Okay. There should be an annual pass, and I get the reservation system. And the basic one is going to be you buy the pass, and you got to make your reservations. You can make reservations 30. You have to make them 30 days out so they can control the attendance, okay? But then they're going to sell a pass too that's even more expensive, that you could do it within one day. And so if all the rich people buy them in one day, how the hell are the people 30 days out ever going to get a reservation? And how is it fair? I think there should be one pass sold. And if it's worth enough to you, you make the reservation, John. So everybody, if a father of four that only makes in California $100,000 or whatever he makes a year, compared to Jessica Alba, who's a multimillionaire, where she could buy her passes every day. So basically, it's going to turn into a rich person's park, is what it's going to be. I think everybody should have the same and equal footing, is what my opinion is. Do you get me on that?
We always like to think that Walt was this guy that was all about the common man and stuff like that, but he is the one that introduced Club 53 or Club 33 and all that other stuff. So there was always a bit of even Walt that was going to cater to the people that had more money. I mean, and that's just the way it is. So,
well, it was a private club, not a private park. You still had to have everybody else still had the same option of getting in. It's the same thing of going to a football game. There still are box seats, but don't make it to where that. I mean, I have the feeling this will be 90% to 95% rich people. Anybody who has buckets of money, and then 5% of, oh, I got lucky, I get to go to, I bought this pass, I'll get to go three times this year.
Yeah.
So the common guy will still get, it'll be like the middle class carries the whole country, John. And that's what it's going to end up being with Disneyland. The common folk will pay and get screwed out of days to be able to go, while the rich person could go whatever he wants. Let's go. I could just see it now. Beyonce, I want to go tomorrow, and she gets to go tomorrow. Who the hell is she when the hospital worker or the employee that's driving an ambulance can't afford to go to the park, or a cop that's escorting her to the park? That's my problem with this, if this system becomes what I think it's going to be. It's going to be just like they were talking about with on Be Our Guest Mike and them being able to buy a better park hopper. You understand what I'm saying, John? I don't think that's right either.
Well, what would be a better park hopper?
Where you get, like, where they were saying that you could buy a better one where you're guaranteed to get on everything, like upscale. If you stay at a better resort, you get more park hopping options than somebody who stays at All-Star, which, to me, and what the price store at the park, anybody staying at Pop Century All-Star right now, still an expensive vacation, wouldn't you say, John?
Oh, well, Disney's an expensive vacation, there's no doubt. I mean, it's always been, and it's just getting more and more expensive.
So if you stay at the Grand Floridian, you get you get to go on four rides, but if you stay at Pop, you get to stay on two. But the whole country right now is in the point of everybody's equal. Am I wrong, John?
Doug, money is money is the great equalizer. You can have any type of money. You're going to be able to do all kinds of things if you have money. That's just, it always has been like that. They have VIP tours at Walt Disney World, and they've had them for 40 years.
But that's an extra. It's an extra. It's still not making me. But they don't sell the park out with them.
You get to skip the lines.
But they don't sell. Do they sell like hundreds of thousands of them?
No, but it's still for the very rich. I mean, it's been around forever.
Yeah, well, I think Disneyland is going to be totally. I think a lot of people are going to be boxed out where they're not even going to be allowed to go anymore, and it's sad. That's my point.
Now, if you think Jessica Alba comes to Walt Disney World and waits in the queue for Pirates of the Caribbean, you're fooling yourself.
But I was just seen a video this morning with her. That's why it came to my mind. But the bottom line, no, but the whole park is that's who it's going to be. The lifestyles of the rich and famous, especially with it being closed this long, because they're all chomping at the bit to go.
Yeah, there's just no room to expand in Disneyland. So,
well, the way people are leaving our state, New York, the way people are leaving New York, California, and New Jersey, your Florida might be in trouble soon, John.
Yeah, I don't know. Population builds and stuff, but. Usually they come down here, and to put it delicately, that we are called God's or heaven's waiting room. So you know you're usually not here a long time.
But I guarantee you that if you looked it up right now, the age of people moving down there is substantially dropped. People are leaving New York and New Jersey by the busloads right now, John. It is so bad with people leaving New Jersey that they actually put in about 10 years ago an exit tax, or 15 years ago. I'm not even kidding you. If you sell your house in New Jersey and don't buy another one and move to another state, you got to pay an exit tax.
Man. That's like we know you don't want to live here, but we're going to tax you to leave.
Well, what they do is, because you do get it back, what happens is if you lose, I forget what it is, it's like 5% or something of the sale, John, that goes into escrow. And what they do is, until you find say I sell my house here and I buy a house in Kissimmee. When I sell this house, so much gets held in escrow in the state of New Jersey until I file my state income tax the following year. Because people were leaving and then not paying their state tax because you don't have one down there. And you can't extradite across state lines for that. You follow me? So many people leaving that they put an export tax where you gotta pay when you sell your house. Ain't that nice, John?
Yeah. Yeah, Doug. And just so you know, every time you call Kissimmee, kissing me, I hear nails going across the chalkboard. Yeah,
yep.
And I grind my teeth, but you know.
I'm driving through Buena Vista, headed over to Kissimmee.
And see that's how all of us down here are automatically going to know where you're from.
I don't care. You'll know where I'm from when I tell you what for and where to go.
Oh, I'm sure. That's what cracks me up too, though. You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, there's so many transplants that live in Florida, but then a good 20-30% of them, maybe not that high, 10-15% get down here and do nothing but complain that they can't find a bagel or a slice of pizza that's worth a day.
I won't be
and move back up north. So, I mean, go have your snow if you want to, but
no, we're going to get 6 to 8 inches here today, so no, I don't want it. No, I'll be happy getting my petite filet over at Le Cellier, eating my homecoming, enjoying my bangers and mash. I'll be very happy there, John. I don't eat a lot of bagels anyway. I'll miss my soft pretzel, but that's about it. So, but no, I can't wait to move, John. Anywho.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be about 72 here today, so.
Yeah.
No snow.
We're going to be 24 degrees, 6 to 8 inches of snow possible, and 30-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
Now I lost my train of thought where else I was going to yell about, John. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. The only thing I will miss about New Jersey is when somebody don't like you, they basically tell you, John. The thing I don't like about, like down south, everybody's super nice, and then they talk about you behind your back, John. You know what I'm saying? How you doing today? It's very nice to see you. And then when you walk away, that idiot. At least up here when you walk up, yo, idiot, what do you want?
Orlando is not really the South anyway.
No.
But there are certain sections on your way down here, you certainly run into that that mentality. And my stepfather, his family was from Georgia and stuff like that. And you could always tell there was like these secret codes. If somebody said, well, bless your heart, that really meant
go blank yourself.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, bless your heart. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
I'd rather be told go blank yourself than bless your heart, to be honest with you. But anywho, what else we have here, John? So how's the bus driving been going before we get into it? So how much you liking it, John?
Enjoying it a lot. Like I said, you know, you get to your paddle sheet in the morning, you know what jobs you have and stuff like that. But then some days you go in and you're not really designated as anything, which means you're just kind of a floater. So then you just, especially at, you know, closing time, like Epcot, I did Animal Kingdom and Epcot last night. Animal Kingdom closed at 6 and Epcot closed at 8. So from like 5:30 until 7:30, I'm pulling back into the hub, you know, at Animal Kingdom and getting told, all right, now go to Yacht and Beach. All right, over to Yacht and Beach, then pulling back into the hub after that. All right, now go to Animal Kingdom Lodge. And that's kind of interesting too, because you never know where you're going to go. And so I did that for like 5 trips from Animal Kingdom, and then I did 3 at Epcot at the end of the night. And this is where my good nature might eventually bite me in the butt, because we have very certain, Disney is on a very very absolute timeline. So like tonight I clock out at 6:47. I have 5 minutes after that to clock out if for some reason it takes me that long. And it usually does, because I'm trying to get as much overtime as possible. So I have to clock out at 6:52. If I clock out at 6:53, I get a half a point on my attendance record and all this other stuff. Or you have to go get it cleared up if you got an explanation, and you technically you're extending yourself without being told to extend, and then you can get in trouble. So last night at like 9:15, I left with a load for the Poly, and the guy had told me, well, there's a couple of people at the Grand Floridian over there. If you can pick them up and do a Poly Grand run, go ahead and do that. All right, so I loaded the people for the Poly, and then I ran over, and there was a young lady in a wheelchair with a large group of 10 people going to the Grand Floridian. And they'd said they'd been waiting an hour. I think that was a bit of an exaggeration, but nonetheless, okay, well, all right, you guys been waiting. You've been here longer than anybody else. I'll take you too. So I've got the Poly, and I've got the group with the wheelchair going to the Grand Floridian. Well, then on the way over there, I hear them talking. Well, the people going to the Poly, they're going to try to jump on the monorail to go back to the Contemporary. All right, well, why not? I'll go ahead and I'll go to the Contemporary too. So I go to the Poly first. I drop those folks off. I go to the Grand Floridian. I get the wheelchair out, and I tell the people, all right, I can take you to the Contemporary. The people waiting at the Grand Floridian for the shuttle bus to go to the other resort, monorail resorts, hear that. Oh, we're going to the Contemporary too. So then all of a sudden I end up with 12 people on my bus going back to the Contemporary. So I get over to the Contemporary. Now it's like 9:52. So I got like 13 minutes to get done and clock out. Well, no, okay, 9:42. So I got 23 minutes. And so I get over to the Grand, the Contemporary, and there's a couple who want to know where the bus for the TTC is. And I'm like, I don't think there is a bus to the TTC. Well, they told us to come over here, and we don't even know how to get there. And, okay. All right, get in. I picked them up, and I dropped them off at the Ticket and Transportation Center, and I got back to Epcot at, like, 10:01, did the post-trip, and clocked out at, like, 10:12, and that was the limit of when I could. So I barely just got there in time, so... At some point, I'm going to have to get a little more hard-edged and say, look, I just can't do it. I'm sorry. So,
yeah, but at least you're – for. And how many days you on straight now, John?
17.
Whew, holy moly, dude.
Yeah, I'm working it.
Yeah, you are. You're going to get a million hours in before you know it. This is good for your union dues, John.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is within – I mean, I'm just thinking statistically the way within probably a month I'll probably have logged as many hours in buses as I have in all three of the attractions I worked at the entire rest of the time I've worked out here. So.
But no, I'm happy. I'm happy you're happy. I told you you were nervous about, because you drove your whole life, about driving again, but I told you bus drivers would be your call, and I think I was right, John.
You know, and I really liked what I was able to do last night, Doug, since I was that floater position and I didn't have the
restraints.
Regimen and restraints of having to make sure I got back to a certain place at time. I was able to make that decision to take the people over to the Contemporary. And the other day, and you have a little bit of freedom with that as long as you're not messing anything else up. You know, if I had a certain run I had to do, there's no way I could have dropped the folks off at TTC and stuff. Yeah. But the other day there was a group getting on, going to Coronado from Hollywood Studios, and it was a large group. It was like two chaperone moms and like 10 teenage girls that were probably a church group or a cheerleading group or whatever. And they were all going to Coronado, and they were asking me how far away is the walk from Coronado to the Winter Summerland golf course. I said, well, it's about a quarter mile, but then nobody else got on going to Coronado. And so I just made the decision that, heck, I can just drop them off right there. So what I did is I dropped them off at Winter Summerland Golf Course, but then still was able to go back and do my run through Coronado just in case anybody wanted to go back to Hollywood Studios. And with nobody else on the bus, I was able to make a call like that. But that's a lot of technically I could still get in trouble for it if an accident happened, because I would be off of my route.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? What are you doing over there? But on the other hand, it is a good thing because I took guests to exactly where they wanted to go. So it's a real gray area, and not all bus drivers are going to be willing to do that. But I am. It makes me happy. You know what I'm saying?
That's so. What you're doing the job for. You wanted to be part of the magic.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I mean, they really appreciated it. You know, having this large group trundling down the sidewalk for a half a mile was probably not in their idea of a good time. So,
well, you did a good thing, John. Now, speaking of good things, do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing? Did you hear now they're also redoing both Jungle Cruises?
From what I've read, the entire article, I think I'm excited about it. It sounds like we're going to update it, and yes, I know we're going to get the politically correct talk and stuff, yes, and they're going to rewrite some of the jokes that way, but I don't know. It seems interesting, and the fact that you get an animatronic skipper along the way, I think that's going to be interesting. When I first saw that, I was like, oh my god, they're replacing the live skippers in the boats. Doug's going to friggin' head's going to explode. But no, it's not. So.
No, I mean, hopefully, I think they'll do a good job. If they took away the skippers from the Jungle Cruise, they might as well just
get rid of the Jungle Cruise.
Or get rid of me, because then I know if they could get rid of that, Disney, as we know it, is 100% gone, John. Yeah. I need to find a new place to love.
But that's not the case. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's a bit of an homage to the skippers, because they're actually putting an animatronic one inside the attraction itself. So
yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mean, I know I understand the whole politically incorrect part of it, but also, how do you learn if everything's wiped off the planet? Like, history was history. It doesn't, just because it's wrong history and it's horrible what happened, you still got to know about certain things, don't you think, John? I don't think it was horrible how they did the ride. It wasn't like, I don't know. It was more tongue in cheek than anything else. Do you disagree with me?
It certainly is, but I can see how it can rub some people the wrong way.
Well, then Peter Pan should have been done forever now. It should be shut down tomorrow.
I totally agree with you on that one.
But it won't be. But, like, I understand it, but it shows me how dumb we were, if you understand what I'm saying, John. That's my point. It shows you what we shouldn't do. I mean, how are you supposed to learn if you don't see, John?
Well, things like that, Doug, and especially in an entertainment place, I understand. What I don't understand is this idea of banning certain books, especially,
yes.
I guess there's a place in California that's getting rid of, like, Huckleberry Finn and To Kill a Mockingbird. And, yes, there's offensive language in those, but those are educational materials. Those are novels to be read and put into place. And all of those books that they're talking about were instrumental in bringing white people to understand that how we were treating black people was wrong. I mean, they were, and yes, it has bad language or offensive language in it, because that was what.
But that's how idiots talk. That's how the idiots talk back then.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact of getting rid of, I don't know. I'm a big bookworm as it is, and it irritates me to no end when I hear anything about books being
so
banned,
should,
because that's a slippery slope when you
so,
start doing
so
that.
So under that logic, John, nobody should ever talk about World War II or World War I again, or Pearl Harbor. It never happened. Right, John?
Yeah. Well, the Japanese did not attack us.
No, John, stop. We can't speak.
My mother-in-law is actually one of these people that, well, I don't even know if I want to bring it up.
No, don't. I know what you've said before, John. The point is, it's crazy. Like I said, Peter, I'm an American Indian. And Peter Pan makes me, I don't like it, but it's the same thing with, what was the Pocahontas. How is that movie still on Disney Plus? I want it to be there. Don't get me wrong. I don't want it to be removed. Because I could see, look, this is how idiotic we were back in the day, John. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they call the Indians savages how many times in Pocahontas, John?
I don't know. I haven't sat and counted, so.
But you get my point. And then when I'm on Peter Pan, I look down, I'm like, oh, look at that. that's comical. You understand saying?
I don't know. The Peter Pan thing, that's more, to me, it's more offensive than actually even, because, Pocahontas, well, that's what
but we're not supposed to show that, John.
What's that?
We're not supposed to show it. It's just like they're trying to say, wasn't there really headhunters back in the day, John? I mean, there's still, I mean, I've known it happen. Am I wrong?
No, I think Trader Sam's still going to be there. No, I think they're going to.
No, they're removed. That's the rumor that's all going to be removed, John.
I don't know, because he's got two bars, so I don't know if they'll get rid of a place that has bars.
I don't know, but it's. I'm just curious to see what comes of it, but it's like, it's horrible what happened. I just want us all to get along, but my point is, in some things, you can't totally remove the past because you don't learn from it.
Yeah, but I don't know if anybody goes to, nobody goes to the Magic Kingdom to learn the true history about pirates or the exploration of the Indian and African jungle.
But that's one of the things that was an added bonus to me, John, learning. Like, you went there and you got, like, kids got educated without knowing they were getting educated. That's what I thought was beautiful about all of Walt Disney World.
Maybe Epcot, but I don't see Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hall of Presidents. Hall of Presidents educate kids.
Oh, yes, Hall of Presidents.
Yeah. And I think stuff like Jungle Cruise and Pirates showed you how, look, like, Daddy, why are they asking for the red? Well, that's the stupid stuff they used to do to women. It's horrible. You understand what I'm saying? It brings up conversation where the way world's going now, there's going to be no conversation. They should just remove American history from high school. Sorry, Pat, but you don't have a job no more. You know what I'm saying? You learn from your mistakes, John.
I understand what you're saying, but it's Walt Disney World. It's a theme park. It's not your history class. So I think there's a difference.
But that's what I thought was great about Disney. It educated kids. That's what a lot of it was about. It was about places you could never go or see and learn about them. I don't know. I'm just saying there are pirates out there, and they are bad people. Pirates aren't all good people, and that's what it was trying to show, John. Last time I checked, I'm out on a cruise. I don't want to be attacked by a pirate. Do you, John?
Well, no. Now they're just drunken fools.
Yeah.
That's basically how they are right now. You can't get a drink of rum in the Magic Kingdom, but boy, apparently all the pirates took them. So.
Yeah. Well, anywho, let's get into some news before you got to go. M&M store at Disney Springs now open. It's nice that another store is open. So I'm anxious to head in there. I'll get some M&M's for sure. I love M&M's. So, and I'm curious to see what kind of different flavors they might have in there, John, because I'm sure they're going to do a bunch of trial stuff and things like that probably.
Yeah, and some of them wacky flavors they come up with.
I wonder if they're going to have a pumpkin spice and avocado M&M.
Oh, and a bacon flavor.
Yes. Oh, my God. Pat would be all over the bacon flavor M&M. Robbie would want. What would Robbie want? Where is my cilantro M&M?
Filet mignon, please.
Filet mignon? No. I don't know if he likes filet mignon. I think he's more of a bone-in ribeye or something like that, like you, John.
Yeah. All right. I saw the veal chop.
This is more like
show
him.
From a couple of years ago.
A 64 Cabernet M&M. A sea bass. And cilantro M&M's, please, to go. Does that sound like would a creme brulee M&M out the door for dessert? What do you think?
That sounds pretty gruesome.
That's what I'm thinking he's getting. Anywho, that store is officially open now. It opened up yesterday. We don't have to get into this, but Walt Disney World leadership reshuffles changes at the top of all three parks. They've switched all their vice presidents around, and the odd vice president out right now is Epcot. Don't have a vice president at this moment.
There's a role for you to fill.
Have you watched Soul yet, John?
No. Okay. No, you got me caught up in this stupid Sons of Anarchy crap, so I'm, like, stuck watching that.
You get what I'm talking about now with it, don't you, John? They don't have one day off, do they?
And I'm in the second season, and it's frustrating. Okay, his son's kidnapped. Okay, get over this, would you please? Oh, for God's sakes, it's been the whole season.
Exactly, yeah. John. That was my point with it. I enjoyed it. Like, I took it for what it was, but can't they just have one nice party at the clubhouse and have a good time? Am I wrong?
No, it's constant. It's constant, that's for sure.
Am I wrong? I mean, even when they're having a good time, next thing you know, there's somebody's breaking in, and it's just nonstop. It's like, my God, why would you even be part of this? I would be running for the hills.
No, they didn't show them doing a whole lot of Toys for Tots charity runs.
No, but like I said, I don't even need it to be that far. Just like even have just a clubhouse party where you just have a good time and everybody's getting along one episode. It's like every single show's a chase. It's crazy. But anyway, I asked you if you watched Soul, which you said you were going to because you had to give me a review on it.
I'm trying. I'll try to get to it this week.
But now at Disney Springs, celebrate soulfully at Disney Springs during February, John. Celebrate soulfully at Disney Springs. Bring together several new offerings debuting in February at Walt Disney World Shopping, Dining, and Entertainment District. On display will be four new art displays inspired by Disney and Pixar Soul, created by emerging black artists Bea Harris, Bianca Pastel, Arrington Porter, and Corey Van Loo. Originally developed in collaboration with Disney and Pixar as part of the U, Unlimited Collection of Wearable Art. The work reflects each artist's inspiration of the film. Three evening per week, Motown Mondays, Jazz Thursdays, and Smooth, like me, Sundays. Musicians will perform throughout Disney Springs. In addition, select dining locations will feature special menu items, including Amaretta's, Pat Sears offering treats inspired by Soul, and Walt Disney's Animation Studios, The Princess and the Frog. Also at Disney Springs, several retail locations will spotlight products from black designers, artists, and visionaries. So I'd be into seeing the art, John. What about you, and seeing what's going on?
Yeah, sounds pretty cool.
I like any new stuff, and then to continue with that,
that's always good.
Absolutely. And then on February 1st, John, Soul at Disney's Animal Kingdom, which is tomorrow, the Soul of Jazz, an American Adventure opening on February 1st at Epcot. So, Disney has today announced that Soul, Jazz, and American Adventure will open February 1st, 2021 at Epcot in the American Adventure Pavilion. Pat, that is located over at the American, where the American Pavilion is, you know, which is in the American, where the theater is, you know where I'm talking about, right across from the theaters, this big building where they have a really cool show inside, Pat. You ought to see it. Featuring Joe Gardner from Disney and Pixar Soul, now streaming Disney on Disney Plus, you will be invited on a musical tour of America to learn about the inspiring genre of music. That's pretty cool. I didn't know Disney Plus was getting it too, John. Did you?
No. It sounds like a collaborated effort here between a lot of different platforms. Very cool.
Yeah, so I'm into that. Walt Disney World update mask policy in reference to COVID-19 vaccine. You know anything about this, John?
I had read something the other day about the mask obviously still have to be worn, but now they're allowing a clear mask. I guess there's a company out there making a mask that has a fabric on the bottom and the top, but then right in the middle they have a clear sheet of plastic where you can actually see the person's mouth.
Yeah, which, my boss's wife has one of them, John.
Yeah, that would help out a lot with some of the hearing impaired people and stuff that depend on reading lips to be able to communicate. So
yeah, we spoke about that a couple weeks ago. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, my boss's wife has one of them. Mask. With the clear mouth area.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also saying if you've already received the vaccine, you will still be required to wear a mask.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, and then the idiots will cry about that. And, like, how are they supposed to do? Ask everybody? You're going to have a vaccine notification if a cast member comes up to you. And then what's going to happen is, Mommy, why don't he have to wear one? You know what I'm saying? It just. And that'll be the adults.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. A taste of a. Guy, what's
actually,
that?
Actually, Doug, I got busted by the COVID police the other day. So.
Well, for not wearing a mask?
I was at lunch at Pride Rock at Animal Kingdom, and I ate my sandwich, and I was drinking my bottle of soda, but I had the cap on it, and I was seated. I wasn't moving around. I was seated, but I would take a sip of soda every 2 to 3 minutes. You know, you're consuming your bottle of soda. And she came over and told me that when I wasn't actively taking a drink of soda, I had to have my mask on. All right, sure. You bet. Okay.
But you're outside. You're outside, and nobody's even close to 6 foot from you.
But okay. All right. It was one of the there are certain people, and I'm not going to say it's women or men. It's both sexes that they get their college degree, and their biggest thrill in life is to get into a management position right away and be able to tell old people, well, I'm not even that old, but older people things to do. You know, she just got a kick out of telling this 49-year-old man that he has to put his mask on because she's all uppity about 24 with her fancy college degree. So, well, you know, and I saw a lot of that in the Navy when you get the officers that get right out of Annapolis and love to come in and try to tell the chiefs and the senior chiefs what to do, but it is what it is.
Well, she would be 100% on my I will get you back list. Any free time that I seen this girl doing anything, I would be 100% focused and waiting for her to make one mistake, and you better believe I'd be there to tell her what she just did wrong.
Yeah, and I've had another person already tell me, you know, because I keep my name tag on my shirt, and if you're gonna wear your jacket all day, you take it off, put it on your jacket, and take it off, put it back on your shirt and stuff like that. But I had my jacket on before I clocked in for the day, and I had somebody tell me, you know, your name tag has to be on the outside. And I'm like, okay, all right, God, people, relax. So yeah. I mean, there's some people out here that are sticklers about rules, and other people just don't even. It's real relaxed, but
just say thanks, Nye.
Yeah.
Know it all.
Got it, buddy. All right.
Thanks, Nye. Thanks, Nye. What do you mean, Nye? Oh, know it all. That's you. You're Nye. A Taste of Bahamas coming to Disney at the Edison at Disney Springs. John, do I sound bohemian?
Not even close, but it was a shot.
The Edison at Disney Springs has a new executive chef, Diana DeRoe. And to celebrate her arrival, we're going to be celebrating Taste of the Bahamas event. This is the first in a series of hosted chef-driven events held in 2021, where the Edison will continue to invite guests to try the latest menu additions to as Chef D puts her unique twist on the restaurant's signature culinary offerings. So, born in the Bahamas, parents in Miami, and then raised in the Bahamas, her passion for cooking stems from her West Indies heritage and her time spent with her grandmother learning to make traditional Benny and peanut cakes from scratch as a child. So you're going to be able to get a taste of Bahamas at the Edison, John. The Edison is a beautiful resort.
Restaurant?
Restaurant. I mean, my bad. It is beautiful in there. It's unique, isn't it, John?
Oh, yeah. It's very steampunkish, gothic, I guess, type of turn of the 19th century type stuff. Yeah, it's really cool.
And here's like one of the samples of what's going to be on the menu. The appetizer is a conch duo. Conch fritter and conch salad and fritter sauce, savory battered conch fritters with a tangy remoulade sauce paired with a salad shooter. And then the entree is a steamed snapper, pea and rice, seasoned steamed snapper filet and braised tomato sauce served over a bed of peas and rice. And the dessert is a fresh churned vanilla gelato with brown sugar beignet cake, piece folded and topped with a drizzle of caramel. I don't know about you, John, is it me, but I preferred my fish grilled over steamed. What about you?
I prefer grilled snapper. I like fried a lot, actually, too. But yeah, grilled is certainly, I'm not a big fan of broiled or steamed.
Me neither.
It kind of seems bland.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to boil your crabs if they're alive. I get that. Or your lobster. But for the most part, if it's a fish, I want it grilled myself. Grilled, yeah. Or like, I don't mind in the broiler because I do the broiled salmon because it gives it that grill effect. But I don't want it boiled or steamed.
Nah, it just seems too bland.
Yeah, even that salmon I told you I had. What was that one, John? The one outside at the Epcot Food and Wine. What's that one they do? Is it steamed or? Smoked. I'm not even a big fan of smoked salmon as much as I am a grilled or broiled. It was good, but not as good. Do you like a smoked salmon?
It depends. The certain flavor and stuff like that. It goes good on a bagel and stuff like that, but it's hard to eat just by itself. So
they're still working on the Italy Pavilion. That should be opening pretty soon, John. But they're still working on the gelato. Gelateria. La Gelateria at the Epcot Pavilion. Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day chef tasting at Marimota Asia. Now, I'm making Valentine's Day dinner here for the girls. This would be good. I know it's not going to be as good as what I make, but I wouldn't mind going to Marimota Asia for Valentine's Day. Would you, John?
No, it sounds pretty romantic.
So, and taking place in the restaurant's four private dining rooms, there will be seating times for multi-course gourmet dinner at 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. There are four private rooms available, and each separate space can accommodate up to four guests. You can reserve your seats today. How much you think it is, John?
Is it for two people?
No, it's per person from what I see
person.
Here.
All right, $119.95.
You can reserve your seats today for $225 plus tax and gratuity per person. And get a load of this, John. You could do an optional beverage pairing is offered for an additional. How much you think for the beverage pairing?
$75.
$85, John.
Oh, I was close.
So you're talking for $310 you could do this a person. So you're talking $620. What's your thoughts?
I'm thinking I'm going, you know, Doug, as much as that sounds pretty nice, I believe I'd be going to Vicky Nowell's for that price.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah, I think I'd do Victoria and Albert's before I do Morimoto.
And they're not showing me what the food is. It better be a hell of a dining experience, John. All I know is if I spent $620 at this house, John, you'd be drunk as a skunk and you'd be fed very well. I could feed you for a month for $620, John.
I'm pretty sure I do feed us for a month at $620. Or close to it, anyway.
Well, yep. Disney Vacation Club to launch Scenic Selfie Scavenger Hunt as part of the 30th anniversary.
That sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, did you get any news on this or no?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Maybe I'll get an email in my inbox, but I haven't read anything about it yet.
Disney Vacation Club is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year, and some new in-park offerings are coming as part of the anniversary. So it's on your smartphone, John, and it's like there's different things you can find at each of the parks. Like in this selfie collecting quest, Disney Vacation Club members will discover Disney details that are woven into the storytelling of each park. Here's a sneak peek at some of the trivia participants will learn. Okay. It went down too fast. Magic Kingdom. Can you guess why so many window shutters in Liberty Square hang a bit crooked, John?
Yeah, because they're supposed to be reminiscent of the time, and they would have been hung with leather straps instead of screws and bolts, and so the leather over time would age and start to sag in areas.
Now you're pretty close, John. I would give you that correct. It says the angled installation mimics the look of the shutters in colonial days, with often featured leather straps as they upper hinges to conserve metal and therefore tended to list to the side. So they used to hang to the side. Very good, John. I'm proud of you for that.
No, thank you very much.
Okay, number two here at Epcot, John. The towering blue roof pagoda at the entrance to the Japan Pavilion, inspired by the 7th century Horiwai Temple that ranks among the world's oldest wooden buildings and features five stories, represents the building blocks of life, including earth, water, fire, and sky. So it don't ask you, it just tells you on that one, John.
Okay.
And then at the Animal Kingdom, it's Chester and Hester's stupid dinorama.
Oh, God.
It's exactly how it was written here, too, John. Chester and Hester's stupid dinorama. Of all the things in that park, they got to put this on there, right, John?
Yes. All the beautiful details and stuff like that in Africa and in Asia. And I know you don't like the Yeti, but still, Expedition Everest. They go with Chester and Hester's out of everything else.
The whole thing is beautiful. The construction's amazing. The backdrop is gorgeous. I love the mountain. It just make the Yeti work. Chester and Hester's stinking stupid dinorama is a playful nod to humble roadside attractions that often dot the landscape near greater points of interest. The Diggs County Highway surrounding the kitschy attraction in Dinoland, USA, features a sign designing U.S. Route 498, a numeric reference to the April 1998 opening of the park. Dude, that was stupid. Walt Disney World Studios. Walt Disney's Hollywood Studios. Walt Disney Company was born in 1923 when Walt Disney rented a small space within the Holly, Vermont Realty office in Los Angeles. The reason it's hard to these blocks are real small, they're hard to read. Realty office in Los Angeles. The Holly, Vermont Realty logo on the window of the door behind the Keystone Clothier shop is a nod to the humble beginnings of the Disney magic. That's pretty cool to know, isn't it, John?
Yeah, I like that little bit of trivia.
Yeah, I don't like the stupid, disgusting dinorama crap.
All right, well, speaking of stupid, disgusting dinorama crap, all right, it's time for the Disney bus driver bad joke of the week. You ready?
Yes.
All right, what Disney character can count the highest?
What Disney character can count the highest? Aladdin?
No, it would be Buzz Lightyear because he can count to infinity and beyond.
Very good, very good. I was thinking Aladdin because he could fly. The magic carpet ride?
Yep.
Magical, but that's very good, John.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Yes, but it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. The kids love them.
Yep.
Bad bus driver joke, bad dad joke, all the same. Beginning February 16, 2021. So on the 16th, John, you'll be able to do this. Scenic Selfies takes you on a hunt across Walt Disney World theme parks to discover Disney details that are part of each park's history. So in other words, they stole all Lou Mangiello's audiobooks.
Well, you know what? It is Disney's property, so if they want to do a trivia thing on themselves, I think they can do
but
it.
But so. I could just see it now. The young kid, the snot nose out of college that you're talking about, John, that they gave this assignment to, just, let me grab these audiobooks. I'll get this done quick.
Somebody's done all this research for. This is great.
Yes. To get started, bring your smart device and visit designated Disney Vacation Club kiosks in each park. In the Magic Kingdom, Tomorrowland, Epcot, alongside the Canadian Pavilion, Hollywood Studios, before the entrance of Toy Story Land, and the Animal Kingdom theme park, Asia. That's a pretty broad area to just say Asia.
Yeah, well, I pretty much know where they are. They're pretty much probably the DVC kiosks inside the parks. Yep. So I know that one in Canada certainly is, because we pass that one all the time. So, yeah, but that sounds cool. I like any type of little trivia scavenger hunt stuff that involves walking around the parks and seeing and trying to find stuff that I haven't seen or done before. So that's cool.
So at the end of the hunt, participants will receive one of four commemorative Disney Vacation Club 30th anniversary buttons, John.
Well, there you go.
Unique to each park. Also announced today is that the DVC Lounge at the Imagination Pavilion at Epcot will remain open through 2021, operating hours 12 p.m. to 7 p.m., but will move to 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. from January 31st, 2021. So that's today. But that's pretty cool. I like trivia, Disney trivia. Listen, people, Disney Cruise Line has moved back departures through April. Until we're 100% vaccinated, don't count on cruising on a Disney Cruise Line. It's going to keep moving. It's Disney Cruise Line right now is Lucy with the football, John.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Pull it out and pull it back. Pull it out and pull it back.
Interventions West continues to be demolished, which is very sad. Breaks my heart, John. What else we have here? How much longer I have you, John? It's 9:44.
About 10 to 12 minutes.
Okay. What else we have here? Outdoor dining returns to City Walk at Universal Studios. Yeah, the president is trying to talk Florida into closing all the restaurants and lounges, John.
Nah, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, but that's what he's trying to do from the White House. He's saying that one of the rumors on one of these sites was that the White House is saying that Florida should close all outdoor dining and bars, John. So keep a lookout for that, John. I know you don't want that. You wouldn't be feeding your family.
That's not going to help anything. So. No.
What else we have here, Johnny? I'm just going through the news. Dude, a lot of people are selling these knockoff lightsabers, too, and some of them look pretty cool.
Yeah, I would imagine. There's a lot of people getting on the bus that have they buy the lightsaber out at Hollywood Studios and then tote it around. So.
No. Trying to see what else we. So weird not having football this weekend, John.
Yeah. Well, gonna get used to it. And this is the first year my son actually is like full bore into football, and he's already asking my wife, "Well, what do y'all do the rest of the year?" I was like, "Well, there's nothing to watch." Yeah, I know you're gonna miss it. So.
Liberty Square Market reopens at Epcot. At Magic Kingdom. With changes, so I'm glad that was weird that not being open, John. The outdoor marketplace there by the Hall of Presidents at Liberty Square.
Yeah, you got to get your turkey leg.
It always I still remember Mom buying me a. Remember years ago they actually sold hot dogs there.
Yeah, and they sold baked potatoes there for a while. Yeah, I think. So
I still remember Mom bought us hot dogs there. They were some of the best hot dogs I ever had, John. Memories, John. Brenda was trying to get
a hot dog connoisseur, so you would say that's one of your best ones. That was
dude. Listen to this, my beautiful wife, because my mother-in-law made grilled chicken or breaded chicken the other night, chicken fingers and she made a ton of mashed potatoes, and you know I'm on a know how a pitcher's on a pitch count. I get put on a hot dog count. I'm only allowed so many per year, John. But my wife knows I've been working 6 days a week, which isn't as bad as you, John, but I'm getting beat up here. But anyway, we had all these mashed potatoes left over. So she, in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, she heated up the extra mashed potatoes, diced up a couple hot dogs and baked beans and put it all in my thermos hot for me, John. You want to know how good that was? It was flipping fantastic, John. Like, if my last meals, that would be close to top five last meals.
God. Yeah.
That's an idea, John. I've been thinking about that, too. We need to do top five meals that we would love to have at Walt Disney World. We'll do our top five living list meals instead of, you understand what I'm saying?
Your last meal. Yeah.
Yes, we'll do it living list meals. We should do that one of these days. Our favorite.
We ought to do one from counter service, or maybe split them up, you know, maybe three counter service, two sit down dining type options.
Yeah. So look through all the menus and see what we would like to try. You know what I mean? That's out there now, because it's been so long since we did anything like that. Our favorite place to grab a turkey leg at the Magic Kingdom closed earlier this month for refurbishment through the temporary cart, even though a temporary cart was set to curb our fix. We can't help but be excited that the Liberty Square Market has reopened today, and we like its new look. So it looks very nice, John.
Good deal.
It always did freak me out, though. I do not... It's weird. The outdoor, the fruit just sitting there with everybody to walk by it. It's always a little got me a little heebie-jeebie, John. You know how I am about buffets, too.
Yep.
But they have a lot of stuff here. They've added some things. You got the Coca-Cola's on ice, which I'm happy to see, John. So, but the market's back open.
No machine will ever get a soda or a beer as cold as a bucket of ice. Yeah.
Never, ever, ever. And it's nice just to see, John. What else we have? You thinking about going to one of the parks tonight?
Probably not. I'm about wiped out, so
I don't blame you.
It would be nice, but I could swing by Disney Springs if I could talk myself into it. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to talk myself into it. So
what about, well, maybe after work treat?
Eh, maybe.
New Haunted Mansion and Mickey Balloons, Lounge Fly ID holder and lanyard. So they have a bunch of new Haunted Mansion merch out there, John. Oh, they got the blue M&M. They got a bunch of stuffed animals, plushes at the new M&M store. How are you liking the new signs, John, and the new signage throughout the property as you're driving around with the bus?
I haven't noticed a whole lot of new signs. Which ones are we talking about?
Well, the entrance signs and all. They've been changing any of the others throughout the...
Well, actually, I don't come in that way, and I never go off property on the bus, so I never see them. So.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know, have they changed any of the signage on property to match? Or I guess these signs are becoming purple so to match what they already have, so. But... I didn't know if they put any other new signage up throughout the park.
No, I haven't seen a whole lot of stuff. There is a lot of construction going up on the side of the Magic Kingdom parking lot by the car care center. And they're sinking huge pylons into the ground. So I don't know if they're doing another flyover, like maybe where if you're leaving the Contemporary, or not the Contemporary, but the Grand Floridian or the Polynesian, you're going to be able to... bypass that little road that runs beside the parking lot, that type of thing, or something. But there's certainly something of size going in there. Either it's almost has to be a bridge of some sort for a flyover, or I heard rumors at some point maybe a parking garage. So.
And then February, we know, is Black History Month, so they're going to be celebrating soulfully at Walt Disney World. So that's pretty cool, John.
Very nice.
New entertainment offerings that will be debuted during the extended Beyond Black History Month. So it's pretty cool. Remy Ratatouille Adventure merchandise released at Epcot, John.
Yeah, merchandise. The area is open, but the attraction's not.
It's crazy. I don't understand it. It's crazy. And that's about it, John. I mean, I know you got to go, so I'm going to let you go. I'm glad we got the whole sports thing in.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know people depended on us to get their weekly wrap-up of sports, but we got it today. So.
Yeah, here it is here, John. White House Task Force calls for Florida restaurants and bars to close their doors. The White House Coronavirus Task Force has announced... Do I sound like one of those old reporters, John, from back in the 30s?
All right, Scoop.
Yes. Scoop Davis here. The White House Coronavirus Task Force has announced that their recommendations that Florida should close down bars and restaurants. Not.
Yeah.
John wants to work, right, John?
Yeah. Gee, thanks, but no.
So, if you want to read that, it's online. And... I don't know, Johnny. I just they got PhilharMagic is in 4K at Tokyo Disneyland. I wonder if they'll do an update to ours at the Magic Kingdom.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, because I think that That film is kind of getting a little long in the tooth like Soren did in there, John. It doesn't seem as vivid as it used to be because we watched it on our last trip, me and Brenda.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't seem as it pops off the screen like it used to. Have you been in there lately?
I haven't probably done it in 4 or 5 years, so I probably need to. But, yeah, and the last time I saw it, it was a bit – it did seem a bit fuzzy, a little bit blurry. And especially now everybody's getting used to seeing such clarity on the 4K televisions that anything's going to look a little blurry. That's not anymore. So.
Yeah, it just – the whole thing – I mean, it was still fun. Me and her had a good time and because it's been a couple years before that since we did it, but we did do it on our last trip. And when I left there, I enjoyed it, but I said to her, I said, I think that film could use – the screen in the film could use an update because it isn't that – the 3D – you know what I'm saying, John? I think it needs to be mainly – really updated. But – so you're headed in. Where you – do you know what your route is yet today?
No, I clock in, and then I'll get my paddle sheet, and I'll know what I have to do for the day. But and it's strange. I bid on Epcot because Epcot's my favorite park, and I wanted to bring people back here and have people ask me about food recommendations and bars and where can I find a cold beer and all that type of stuff. And in the last 5 days, I've done no routes at all to Epcot. I've went over to studios and worked out of there in Animal Kingdom. So I park at Epcot, and that's it. So.
Well, hopefully you start to get that, John, because I know you would enjoy that, especially telling people where to go and get an ice-cold Kirin. Frozen Kirin, buddy!
Yep. Yeah.
And if you got an extra $72 in your pocket, you can go get two Le Fin de Mons.
Yeah, if you happen to be toting around that much cash on you.
Yeah. You want to go broke, go over Canada and get a couple of Fin de Mons. Yeah, for $34.95 a piece, right, John?
Not quite that bad, but they're getting there, that's for sure.
What are they, $12 now or $14?
Yeah, I think they're $11.95, $12.
Holy moly, dude. I might sit out in front of Epcot. Psst, psst, ice cold Le Fin de Mons here. $6 a bottle. What do you think?
Probably a bad idea.
You think you'd rat me out, wouldn't you, John?
I would do no such thing.
All right. And saying that at Disney is a bad thing because we don't want to call Mickey a rat, right?
Yeah, he's a mouse.
He's a mouse. But anyway, everybody be kind to one another. Go get your shots. I get my follow-up shot in a couple weeks, John. I'm scared. February 11th.
Mm-hmm. Better have the day off after. After I heard the second one can put you down.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and I'm scared to... I'm afraid. Well, I'm hoping. I'm thinking I'm taking a 4-day weekend because I'm supposed to cook for the girls that weekend. So
there you go.
But anywho, everybody be kind to one another. Everybody be safe. Be careful. Respect one another. And have a great and wonderful week. What do you say, John?
Bye-bye, folks. Come and see me on the buses.
All aboard. Right, John?
There you go.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, folks.
Well, that's it, guys. We're going to hop off our stools. And there's no tab here at the Main Street Pub. As usual, drinks are on the house. But if you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate that. Also, you can find us on Twitter at WDW Main Street and Facebook at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. Also, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. You can find our fine sponsors over there, Elite Vacation Homes, David's Vacation Club Rentals, Scooterlando, American Tourist Travel. And again, guys, please be kind to one another, and we will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.